Catechist was reading various scripture stories from the Old Testament to his class of second graders. And at the end of about 4 weeks of reading the Old Testament scripture stories, he said to the students, the children in the class, he said, "Are there any questions?" One little boy raised his hand and said, "Yes, I have a question." He says, "Yes." He said, What is it?" He said, "Well, you read to us about the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. You read to us about the children of Israel building the temple." He said, "Did the grown-ups do anything at all?" You know, when you take a look and listen to that, you know, sometimes we relate to God as children. We do that. Teachers in class will also oftentimes offer evaluation forms, and they'll do that in order to elicit kind of response from the students. And I'll bet right here in this congregation, we've all filled out those evaluation forms at some time. One professor asked the students about his class and offered, passed out the evaluation forms, received them back, and started to read it. And one student wrote, "I really like the course, but I feel very strongly that the professor puts too much responsibility for learning on the students." You know, we take a look at the gospel today. There's a lot of responsibility placed upon us. I wore many hats in the almost now 40 years of being a priest. Many hats, you know, obviously chaplain in the military, a professor in postgraduate work in ethics. But one that I really enjoyed, and one that I had, was a high school varsity basketball coach. And you have to work with kind of the sense of students coming in and playing, loving, having a passion for the game, trying to mold them into a unit. But you are always dealing with individuals and their relationship, their own personal passion, their own kind of sense of their own ability. And you also realize that it's far different if you're a sophomore and a junior on a varsity team than you are as a senior. When you're a senior, you've just got a few months left, a few games, and then you're out. You're no longer there. And there was one senior that I had on the team who wasn't getting much playing time. You know, you look for that, you work hard in practice so that comes to game time and you could be out on the court wearing those wonderful jerseys and representing the school. He wasn't getting much playing time. So after one practice, he asked if he could have a conference with me. I said, "Sure." So we went into the coach's office, and he sat across from me, and he says, and obviously being a priest, but being coach, he says, "Coach," he says, "I want to ask you a question." And I said, "Sure. What is it?" And he said, "How come I'm not getting playing time? How come I'm not out on the court game day? How come I'm not getting playing time?" I looked at him and wanted to be honest with him so that he could basically understand, you know, the situation. I said, "Look," I said, "you're maybe my best one-on-one player." I said, you handle the ball tremendously. I said, "However, when I put you out with the other four individuals onto the court, the team, you take away from the team concept. You don't play in terms of the vision that's outlined. Defense fails tremendously, and we cease to be competitive to the other team." Picked up his head, he shook his head, picked his head up, looked at me and said, yeah, coach, I know that, but how come I'm not playing more?" You see, sometimes our perspective is an individualistic perspective. Our perspective is filtered through what we want rather than what is placed before us, rather than what we have to do. In today's gospel, the individuals are called to put their talents in shaping the vineyard to produce for the kingdom of God. So it's their individual talents which is placed at the disposal of God. Our sense of being used as an instrument for God. Now we're on a vineyard kick. Over the last 3 weeks, we've talked about sending out the workers into the vineyard. Last week, we talked in terms of the two sons, one who goes out to work in the vineyard and says he's going to work and he doesn't, the other who says, I'm not going to do it, and goes ahead and doesn't. Here we have the concept of the vineyard itself and the vineyard being entrusted. And I offer to you that what's being revealed here in this gospel reveals to us about God, about ourselves, and about Jesus. Now, when we look at first blush at this gospel, we know immediately that this gospel is talking about the covenantal relationship, sometimes referred to as in terms of the Old Testament. Talk in terms of the Israelite community being offered that covenant with God, the prophets being sent, you know, and that covenant with God entrusted as the kingdom, and the kingdom is represented as the vineyard. And God gives them the ability to produce in that vineyard. In fact, he sends individuals like the prophets to assist them in the production. But they reject the prophets. The production is not there. So he sends his son in order to inspire. Obviously, the son, being the son of God, Jesus comes. They even reject him. Then what the master does is establishes a new covenant, a new relationship based off of the loss of his son, based off of understanding his son's words as paramount in the relationship. And what's key in there, obviously that passage, is the stone that's been rejected has become the cornerstone, the foundation for everything that we do. Now, when I say we look at this and we learn not just the encapsulation of salvific history, but what we really learn is we learn about our relationship with God, God's presence in us. We learn about ourselves and we learn about Jesus. What do we learn about God? First of all, that God trusts us. Now, we probably don't have that sense. We trust God, hopefully, we have that sense, but that God trusts us. He entrusts us with the kingdom, here on earth, the kingdom. He offers it to us. He entrusts us with it. Secondly, and this is the one we all like, God is a God of patience. He takes time with us. Jesus points out in the vineyard that he takes time again and again. He doesn't have an exacting right away. He doesn't demand things right away. He allows us to form ourselves, to be able to have that relationship over a period of time. God is patient, and we love the fact that God is patient. Here we are. We love the fact that God is merciful. I love the fact that God is merciful, because when I examine myself as a sinner, I can stand before God and I can only entrust myself to his mercy. So I'm grateful that God is merciful and that God is patient. He's patient with us. God has patience. But God judges. That's the one we don't like. We don't like the fact that God judges. But God, in fairness, has to judge. And why? Because he's faithful to who we are. He entrusts us, and here's our relationship. He entrusts us with freedom, the ability to choose, which is so, so very important, which is really at the heart of who we are and our dignity as people. We're entrusted with freedom. And with freedom comes an accountability. And here, where the overemphasis on it can't force us away from God, understanding it can cause us to understand the responsibility that we have. There will be a day, an accounting, a reckoning. We will be called each and every one of us to how we built this kingdom, how we helped our Lord to establish this kingdom here on earth through all of the assistance that was given to us, or all the talents that have been given to us. We'll be called to a reckoning. We don't like to think in terms of God as the big accountant in the sky. And it's not necessarily that God's doing the accounting. It's our responsibility to use wisely the gifts he's entrusted to us. How else can we read the scripture when we're talking about the talents that have been given to someone? And they're not distributed all equally, but to whoever has been given those talents are to be used and maximized for the good of building God's presence here on earth. And then, of course, we hear about Jesus. Jesus, who is elevated, his stature is elevated in this parable because he is the epitome of all of the prophets. When we go back to thinking in terms of the transfiguration, when you have Moses and Elijah flanking, the law and the prophets all now come to this apex, who is the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming into the world. So it establishes Jesus' place among us. You can't ignore that. You can't ignore that. Therefore, you can't ignore his words. And how his words touch our hearts is a way that God challenges us to build the kingdom, to produce in the vineyard. And then what is it based upon? It's based upon sacrifice. Jesus willingly obeyed the Father, giving his life for us. And what is the sacrifice? What is it? What is the code word of that sacrifice? Love. Love. This is a statement of God's love for us. It elevates every one of us. Our creatureliness now is elevated to a sense that we could never have imagined. Not the mystery is that we love God, but that God loves us. And I tell you without hesitancy, we can go through the world without a lot of things. But we could never be successful in this world if we don't have love. Love gives us a sense of who we are and helps us to understand ourselves as the children of God. Loved only for ourselves. Loved only for ourselves. St. Paul helps us to understand how we develop that kind of sense of peace, how we can go through this world trying to understand we have to produce for the kingdom, trying to understand how we use our talents, trying to understand about listening to Jesus' words. And he does so by his letter to the Philippians when he's writing to people that he loves. What do you do? How do you live in this world? How do you open yourself up to the Lord's presence in your life? How do you use the instruments that God has given you? And he says, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things and keep on doing what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me. Then the peace of God will be with you, and you will produce for the kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.